Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to a brand new series of Rahalastapa. This week we're going to start with Max and Ivan, who we did quite recently at the Cambridge Corn Exchange. That is correct. Hey, if you want to support these podcasts and help us to keep filming them, then why not go to gofasterstrike.com/badges and become a monthly badger and get a membership card and all the backstage videos, advance warning of who the guests are going to be, all sorts of lovely stuff there for you. Some of my stand-up shows are up there as well. Or go to gofasterstrike.com and buy some books or DVDs. You can buy emergency questions books, the perfect Christmas gift. And DVDs and everything. Or come and see us live. Go to richardherring.com/gigs to find out where Rahalastapa is coming next. All over the blooming shop is the answer. All right, see you in a bit. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Max and Ivan on Rahalastapa.
So far to the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cambridge Corn Exchange. Please welcome a man who first exchanged corn in this building in 1995. I genuinely did with Stuart Lee. It was a hilarious joke we did. It's Richard Herring! We were very funny. Hello! Hello, Cambridge! Oh, fabulous audience. So, welcome to the podcast. It's Richard Herring's Lyndhurst Surfing Time podcast. I decided to take a change of direction. Actually, not that much that of a change of direction. The whole podcast is going to be about the sitcom Goodnight Sweetheart and my analysis of each episode, starting today with episode 1, where Gary Sparrow finds the passage, Duckett's passage. Embarrassing, I know that without planning it. It's a very good show. I've got it all on DVD if you want to come and watch it. But I was hanging out on the mathematical bridge today in Cambridge, pointing out to everyone who passed that although wood is a weak material if subjected to bending, in this bridge design, the timbers in the side trusses are something, and practically no bending force, are subject to practically no bending force. The dominant force in the timbers is tangential to the arch, is simple compression, in which case wood is very strong. No one was interested, so I call it Relastopus. So I'm the cool kid there. So not much has happened. I'm doing so many podcasts, it's very difficult to do any autobiographical material. I'll tell you the two things that have happened, and one of them is a dream. That's how fucking desperate I am getting for material. This morning I was having a dream where I was hanging out with Blur, and I was eating one of those fancy lettuces, you know, like not a round one of the kind of ovaly ones you can peel the leaves off. I was eating one of those with Blur, and Alex James got angry because it was his lettuce. And then I woke up, my son woke me up because he was ill and he was crying and stuff, and I was really annoyed with him that he'd taken me out of that wonderful dream world. I think it's, you know, it's boring, but it says a lot about my life. My son is obsessed with the moon currently. He's noticed the moon, and every time he sees the moon, he says, "The moon, I see it. And he wants to see it wherever he is. And I was out last night. I was out, and my wife texted me some pictures of my son, who was standing up naked in the bath, pointing out the window. He'd seen the moon. He's going, the moon. So she texted these lovely photos of my son in the bath, completely naked. And then she said to me, "Oh, by the way, I accidentally texted those to Rachel Paris, first of all, thinking it was you." So Rachel Paris just got two. She was asking her to be on a very excellent podcast, Drunk Women Solving Crime, and then sent her two naked pictures of our son pointing out of a bath. I thought it was quite good. She's still doing the podcast, apparently. So anyway, look, that's what's happened to me. That's my fucking life. Never get married and have kids. That is the message. Where a dream about Blur. I was so excited to be with Alex J. Why did he like lettuce so much? What was going on? That's what? He likes cheese, doesn't he? That's it. But, you know, you've got to have a little bit of something crunchy, isn't it? If you just eat cheese all the time, you need a little bit of wetness. You need a bit of texture, don't you? Just different texture. That's the success of the cheese and lettuce sandwich right there. Should we talk about this a bit more? We could make the whole part. I could just bin the guests. Yeah, and just talk to you about sandwiches. My guest this week, you will know them as the pottery teacher in Pompidou and Mustachio Joe in Custom Love. And I wonder if he'll mind that I didn't. He was also in Pompidou, but I'm not. Will you please welcome Max and Ivan, ladies and gentlemen? It's Max and Ivan. Hello, come in. Sit down. Whichever order, do you have an order?
The order is Max and Ivan.
Yeah, so it has to stay. You're like, it's Anton the Anton Deck. Deck. Anton
yeah, exactly. Deck. Works for them.
Yeah. And it was actually, I was always on this side, Lee and Herring. I was in that work, Lee and Herring. It worked.
Did you consciously always do that? Stand that way?
It's the what?
You'd stand in that order? For,
yeah, like, we're always wherever we were, we would Lee and Herring. So that had to be that way. Yeah.
Posters as well?
Yeah, maybe. I wanted to be Herring and Lee. Did you not want it the other way around?
Oh, he writes most of the stuff, so okay. He should get to.
Well,
pick
then
what
I should
called.
Have been the first. In the last.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote all of it practically. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Well, not let's not talk about those.
We can
those
talk
two.
About them if you want to talk about.
We will.
Them,
I mean, we definitely will. As it goes on, I can't have a double act and not just go, "How the fuck are you still friends?" but we'll get to that later on. It's not the time early on. Let's talk about your
He's
work
in
Pompidou.
Well, quite. Matt, thank you,
pottery teacher. You were the bandaged.
I was
man?
Bandaged man.
Bandaged
in,
man.
Not my favourite of your roles, so I went for
I
a different role.
I completely understand.
Ivan
yeah.
genuinely fully fell asleep on set for 2 to 3 hours whilst playing bandaged man.
Look, in my defence, I was a bandaged man acting asleep in a hospital on a bed.
This is why he was cast as bandaged man, ladies and gentlemen. His monologue was so powerful that they asked him to remain motionless and silent for the entire day, whilst I got to play a pottery teacher who spoke gibberish, as did everyone in the show. Yeah.
I can see why he does all the writing, because you couldn't even say on or in a... You were struggling over just saying I was on or in a bed.
On a bed.
On a bed.
In hospital.
Okay.
That's a hospital? It doesn't matter. That's good.
And Mustachio Joe, Mr. Custom Love, what was that? Remind us for the people who didn't see that one.
For the few in the audience who haven't seen Custom Love, it was a fabulous film in which it turns out that all the men have been bred to extinction and replaced by sex robots.
Wow! Weirdly, I can't believe I've chanced across this.
Your Google alert came up. Yes. Someone asked us to be in, and we didn't. It had a lovely cast. We were in with Freya Parker of Lazy Susan, so I'm going to name check her so she gets embroiled in this.
She was in it as well.
It was wonderful. Semi-improvised, very surreal, and very prominent in our IMDb rankings. God bless.
My full name is Ivan Gonzalez, and on IMDb, I am Ivan Gonzalez, brackets 7.
Ivan Gonzalez the 7th. There is quite a... The first guy is, like, really successful as well.
He's doing very well for himself,
to be
honest.
He's like a big telenovela.
He's a hot guy as well.
Yeah. It's a tough break.
It seems like a mismatch of cultures. Well, I mean, that sounds like I'm saying we have to just breed within our own nations. Which, I think by the time this goes out, we'll be allowed to say that. That's fine.
The strong eugenics
I very strongly feel there should be no mixture between any different countries.
No,
whereas your name feels as if it is, but I'm hoping you're now going to correct me and tell me it's all Argentinian.
Well, actually, there are lots of Ivans in Spain.
Okay.
I'm not sure why, but it's quite a popular name. And my parents met in Spain. My dad was a deep sea diver. In Argentina, went to Spain looking for commercial work. My mum...
Looking for commercial
deep sea diving work, by the way, not also looking to be in commercials.
Although, I wouldn't put it past him. He's lived a colourful life.
Enrique Gonzalez has lived there.
What kind of non-commercial deep sea diving work was he doing in Argentina?
Amateur, for fun.
He was working for the Navy.
Okay.
So he was looking for the big bucks.
Okay.
And my mum hitchhiked from Liverpool to the south of Spain, and they met in a bar where she was the DJ and go-go dancer.
Okay. Did she have to put the records on, then sort of scoot across a bit and go-go dance, and then go back?
It's a simpler time.
That's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's fine. So there's 6 other ones working in show business.
Big time.
Your name.
Yeah, and I think...
To be honest, I think one of them is a gaffer, but is doing better than me.
Van Gonzalez the 6th.
I don't think they rank. I think it's like the order you come into the IMDb. I don't think it's like we've decided you're the 7th.
I've been telling Ivan for years that it's based on success.
No, I like that theory.
It doesn't keep changing. It doesn't go, you're up. I've just looked, you're up to number 5.
It's like SEO with Google. You've really got to kind of work hard to get to the top of the rankings.
I like this.
Good. Well, that's that out of the way, and that is nice to know.
The bloodlines are in... Yeah, I can't remember which side of the argument you're on, but yeah.
So, how did you guys decide to work together in a double? You've been going for a long time, right? You've been working together for a long time and still seemingly good friends.
Well, you notice we've not looked each other directly in the eyes throughout this entire conversation.
Only when we make love.
And that's the secret to staying together.
Yeah, didn't work for me and Stu.
Never
mind. And just drove a wedge further between. Yeah, actually, it did.
Quite repetitive. We graduated in 2009, so this is coming to our 10th year of being adult double act
people. I've got a student card, guys. I found out that if you're an equity member, there was a window where for like a month people were allowed to get student cards through Equity, and then Equity realised that it's just a load
every
of
actor in the world.
Old actors like me getting that student card vibe.
I've seen the perplexed look on like restaurateur and shop owners' faces as they look at Ivan trying to work out what sort of PhD or something he's still studying. I've got a student card as well. It was a great scam. Love it.
Okay.
Yeah. Days.
Is it not open anymore to
no, they,
to close
they
that down?
Clamped down on that
swiftly shut
scam.
It down. I think it's valid for another like 2 years, though.
Oh, yeah.
God bless. That's well nice. Worth that Spotlight membership. Yeah, we're a double act.
Yes.
Yes.
And you met at college.
Yes.
And so what, you worked on, did you do a radio thing on the student radio? Is that what you did together?
Oh my God, yeah, we did. That was our first thing. We met in an audition for like a piece of very serious student theatre in our first couple of days at university, and got chatting about comedy and the audition and kind of, and then agreed that we were going to go and writing comedy would be something that we'd like get round to at some point.
Okay.
And then did we do the radio thing first or did we do stand-up first? I can't remember.
We stand-up. Started to do some stand-up.
Yes.
You wrote yourself into my act.
I did. Ivan did an act.
Very racist?
A little bit racist. But
it's based on my Argentinian dad, so it's kind of fine. I was doing a silly accent.
Good. Had a ukulele. Comedy songs. It was good stuff.
I don't like it when people just do ridiculous accents for comedy. Absolutely. I think that's cheap.
It's a
very against
move.
That. Only if you can do them very accurately.
Oh, yeah.
And again, well, I thought one ridiculous accent wasn't enough. So I, when I was off wrestling in Italy, I wrote myself into Ivan's double act. And despite not being able to speak a word of Spanish, Ivan's character was like a kind of cutesy Argentinian folk singer. And I thought that to kind of counter the slightly kind of saccharine vibe, he should have a kind of sinister criminal counterpart who spoke only Spanish. I didn't speak Spanish, so I just literally did like cod Spanish.
Wow. So offensive.
In our stand-up gigs.
After every gig, people would come up to Max and say, your Spanish accent's so amazing. And they would never say anything about mine, even though I lived in Spain for 8 years and my dad's Argentinian.
Yeah.
Just got the ear.
Yeah.
We eventually abandoned that hit act after it ascended to the quarterfinals of the Laughing Horse New Act of the Year 2000.
Was that, so you were doing stand-up in actual comedy clubs rather than student, was it like a student clubs or was it like in the real world you were doing?
It's the real world, baby.
Yeah. Just the edge of the real world, yeah. We both went to a university called Royal Holloway genuinely because we thought it was in London and it turns out not the case.
No.
Actively lied to by advertising.
43-minute train journey from Waterloo.
Yeah, little town called Egham. Outer London. genuinely, both. I was from Portsmouth, Evans was from Liverpool. We got pretty much screwed.
Yeah, sounds like.
Yeah, but so we'd perform on this sort of tiny campus bubble world to our very receptive mates. And then we could like just about get to like Richmond and Kingston and like if we really tried to get into town.
Yeah.
So that was the beginnings of our journey.
Cool. And so that's you. So you mentioned that you obviously came out of college. Was there a period where you in Wikipedia it says you were working together for some years and then there's a gap and then you started working together again. Is that right or is that Wikipedia wrong?
Good grief.
It says like 2006 to 2008 and then 2010 to
really?
The present day or something like that.
Wow.
Was there a moment where you weren't working together? Because Wikipedia has made that decision.
Oh, right.
They've decided whatever you were doing
who's
in that year was not.
Stuff?
Extraordinary harsh judgment on our 2008 C Venues show. our first, good show was in probably 2011, I think. So two summers after we'd graduated, I suppose. But we kind of started double acting pretty early on. And then I think because, although they'd been kind of fairly disastrous but fun in the way that early Edinburgh experiences can be, we kind of got addicted to that after like 3 years of being at university and we'd really kind of fought to get up there and perform these shows. So when we graduated, despite not having any particular momentum or sign from the gods that this was our calling, felt that it was or wanted to do it. And a bit, I mean, like a relationship, we were like, so are we taking this seriously? Is this going to go somewhere? And we had to decide whether or not we were just, going to go off and use our lucrative drama and creative writing and straight drama degrees.
Namaste.
On our own. Or whether we were going to keep working and whether, whatever jobs we were able to get, in London and stuff was going to be in service to this thing. And we got stuck in. So Wikipedia be lying.
Okay. Well, Wikipedia's made a judgment on you guys.
Fair play. Our output was weak at that time.
And so the jobs you were, what jobs were you doing when you were kind of working this? You were working for, as a journalist, right, in Esquire magazine?
I was indeed working as a journalist at Esquire, but I mean, before that, I was best known for handing out samples of little-known and slightly legally suspect energy drink Neuro. I'm not sure if they still sell it.
Not to be taken if you're pregnant.
No, that's their slogan, unfortunately. The first, this might all have to go, I don't know. It was like promo work was quite sweet because it was like comparatively well paid, yes. And it was mainly other actors, and it was sort of easy, and you could kind of get away with not doing very much. And so we just go to like a Waitrose or somewhere and hand out this energy drink. And on the first day, this American executive was like, okay, great, this one you've got to tell everyone, it's got this ingredient in, which is going to help you suppress your appetite, and it's the future, and this is what you want to go big on. And we were like, great, and we told everyone. The next week, it was like, do not under any circumstances mention that ingredient. If they ask you point blank, do not answer. Thank you so much. And we never saw him again.
Wow. I've often thought, I tried to come up with terrorist atrocities.
Yes.
I've often thought that would be quite good. We wouldn't just go to a shopping centre and start handing out cans of whatever, something nice. People or chocolate bars, just fill them with anthrax.
Queue up for it.
Yeah, people are so greedy. And if people don't want it, just say, right, we're running out now. And then, honestly, people will swarm. You could absolutely do a whole major kind of urban centre in it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. I just want to come up with the ideas. I'm just the ideas. I was disappointed when I didn't get the head of ISIS recently. Because they said, it was like on the news, goes, the head of ISIS is about to be announced.
Is it going to be?
You always hope, don't you?
Do they have nominations?
Yeah. I mean, I just...
Overlooked shortlist.
Overlooked again, Richard.
It takes so long for, changing the leader of the Tory party. The ISIS got up. How do they get around all the guys in ISIS to vote on it?
They've got a. They're pretty.
They're straight away.
They're a 21st century terror organisation. Yeah. They've got a press wing. They've got propaganda. They're good.
But next time, it's the kind of job I think you get. You go, yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah.
They're going to kind of hunt me.
A bit like being prime minister. Yeah.
But it'd still be nice to have it, wouldn't it? Be an award of some kind. No, people at Cambridge don't seem as happy with me about the idea. Has there been a serious poisoning in Cambridge town centre of people handing out? Because if it's happened today, that would seem insensitive, what I just said. And I could understand why you're so upset about it. But unless it's happened, come on, it's just a joke. I mean, the thing is, it might have happened in between me recording this and this going out, and people at home are going to be fucking furious with me. Yeah. Did you not hear about the 10 million people killed by Mars bars in the Westfield? Oh, I've given a good eye place to do it now. As well.
Is it Mars bars that you're planning on poisoning?
Yeah, Mars bars. I think something, well, maybe not Mars, but I think if you did... like celebrations or something like that, then everyone would get a choice.
Yeah.
Something like just something people would really... You've got to think these things through.
Different poison in each celebration.
Yeah. It would have to match the colour of the filling, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And, if you could do one that was slow-acting and communicable somehow, then that would be better.
Contagious for a while.
Or just poison
Let's
the water
workshop
supply.
This.
It's sort of amazing they haven't thought of this, ISIS... Just get to the...
Is this all going in the deck for when you put in your application?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel they've been... 9/11 was good.
Sure.
And that wasn't really ISIS, but, they did really well with that. I mean, from their perspective,
it was
bad.
Yeah.
If you were them, you go, ooh, that was a good day.
For sure.
But since then...
In terms of awareness, it was big.
Then it's been weak.
Yeah.
Been weak.
Yeah.
I'd be embarrassed. If it was your job to come up with those things all the time, that's what I'm saying.
But is that the head or is that their events guy? I mean, if you're the head, you're just the CEO kind of steering the ship. You're working on overall, retention, recruitment, the direction. Maybe you've probably got a team of people who are kind of coming up with the whiz-bang kind of ideas.
Yeah. It's a tough gig as well to follow 9/11.
It's big.
Right, they've got 9/11's happened.
Yeah.
It was big.
Yeah.
We've got to make more of a splash.
Yeah.
And then no one's going to raise their hand and say, celebrations. No, go with me on this.
You're in Westfield, right? Picture the scene. And it is, and by the way, did I mention it's Boxing Day? All right. Now you're listening. Yeah.
All right.
Even the bounties.
All right.
We'll let you know.
Got to have a laugh. And you were the youngest wrestler in the world?
Yeah, Matt. Well, I was the UK's youngest professional wrestler when I was growing up.
How old were you?
I was about 14.
That's young.
I was, yeah.
Were you wrestling grown men?
I sure was wrestling grown men, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wow. There were
how did they feel about it? I mean, Jimmy Savile, happy, I'm guessing.
Jimmy Savile was a wrestler.
I know, that's why I used that reference.
I'm just checking. Yeah, luckily, Jimmy...
Sorry, just ticking all the boxes. We've got ISIS, we've got Savile. Yeah.
All the ledges. James and I didn't cross paths. I think he was retired by this point, at least from wrestling. I've not followed the rest of his career that closely. I wrestled, there was a wrestling school in Portsmouth. I watched wrestling when I was a teenager on a friend's TV. I was very excited by it. I wanted to be a wrestler. And
you had irresponsible parents.
Bohemian parents who I think thought, you know, follow this, you know, you'll move on to something else. Yeah. And had there not been the school, I would have obviously just moved on. But instead, I kind of got trapped in this sort of ridiculous existence of actually getting to be a wrestler and then wrestling and traveling around the country and sort of still doing it up until the point when I got to university, yeah. I was still going away most weekends wrestling around the country. Yeah. And that's why I was in Italy wrestling, couldn't speak Italian, I was very sort of a bit bored and a bit lonely, and then remembered this Argentinian character comedian. It's a relatable story, guys, get on board. Wrote this song, and then when I got back to Egham, knocked on a van's dorm with this song and a bottle of vodka, and we got into it.
Was that the? I mean, I know
he
you've
had
done
me at vodka.
I know you've done wrestling shows since then, which we'll talk about. But did you stop the professional wrestling at that point? Was that the point?
Pretty much. Well, I'd always sort of known that I'd always wanted to be a performer, and then. Since I could remember. And then when when the wrestling kind of blossomed as this bizarre adolescent passion, it kind of did take over for a while. And there was I had a sort of gap year between going to university. I was like, am I going to be a wrestler? Is this the thing I'm going to do? I didn't know. But by the time I'd made the choice to go off I knew that I wanted to be a writer and performer. And I wanted to go off.
Well, and you got too old as well, because you were your unique selling point was you were the young.
Yeah, I've been schlepping that around for some years now. Yeah. This
is the UK's youngest professional. never mind. Oh, God bless. All right, never mind.
Was it a thing? They go, we're going to wrestle a child now, or was it not? No, just for fun, we're going to chuck a kid in.
Next up, ladies and gentlemen, it's your man versus child match. If anyone came specifically for that match. The police are here for
you. Or was
you.
It never referred to? Was it just like people go, why is there a small child wrestling?
I was... in Mexico, they've got a tradition of small wrestlers, which are normally people of restricted growth. They're called the minis, and they're spectacular. But they are also presented as children. Their characters, the kids are told, those are children. But they're normally like chain-smoking 40-year-old blokes. But I was not in Mexico. I was in the Buckland Community Centre in Portsmouth. And I was just the really small wrestler. It was called Max Voltage, the human dynamo. And I used to nip around and bounce off the ropes and sort of jump at people. And that was my thing.
Yeah, that's sort of wrestling in a nutshell.
Basically,
I used to run around and jump off the ropes.
Well, lots of the big lads used to just stand in the middle and get jumped on. You know, that's the sort of yin yang dynamic.
Well, I was I wasn't a wrestler, but the wrestling I watched was the previous generation to what I'm imagining. I imagine you watching WWF or whatever.
That's what I started on. Yeah, and then I sort of.
But I, you know, Big Daddy
and Giant Haystacks,
where they literally just when those two fought against each other, they basically were just one of them would stand in the middle while the other one
stagger off.
Just bounced across the thing.
Two mountains sort of rolling into one another. Yeah. I met some of those guys. I went to the Wrestlers' Reunion once in Essex, which happens every year, where you meet the old wrestling legends and they kind of give out awards and stuff. I mean, there aren't that many old wrestlers around. It's a very bad lifestyle.
But Kendo Nagasaki.
Kendo Nagasaki, who has a group of acolytes called the Keepers of the Salt. And who lost a finger, everyone said it was due to being in the samurai, but it was actually like a threshing accident at a farm.
Okay. Is wrestling real?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's that finally sorted out.
You're all keepers of the salt now.
And so you have done, let's talk about this, you've done in Edinburgh for a few years, you've done putting comedians against professional wrestlers in a big one-off kind of event every yes. Edinburgh, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about how does that work? Are you wrestling in that as well?
I've graduated to wrestling.
Yeah.
To begin with, I did no wrestling because I ain't a wrestler.
No.
But then I kind of got into it. And by the last show, we had a one-on-one match, just the two of us.
Oh, wow.
Wrestling away. I jumped off the top rope and I almost died, to be honest.
We're in the most recent show, Ivan ended up jumping off a ladder. He's kind of got, he's really gone from zero to a million.
I don't remember that, to be honest. No.
Is a ladder allowed in the ring?
In a ladder match, it's actively encouraged.
Of course, the ladder match. If you're on a ladder, do you both have to stay on the ladder in a ladder match, or is there just a ladder that you're allowed to use?
There's a ladder that you're allowed to use, yeah. and the way you win is you've got to climb to the top and grab the belt, which is suspended 20 feet above wow. the ring.
Wow.
Yeah. No pinfalls, no submissions.
But I chose to jump off of it onto a bunch of wrestlers.
Yeah.
It did not win the match.
I didn't win.
No. Has anyone been badly injured when you put comedians... I'm presuming drunk comedians.
Drunk comedians?
Yeah.
We have not, I say with some qualification, had any drunk comedians on. No, we've not had any drunk comedians okay. do the show. And we've escaped without any... I hurt my ankle the very first time we did it.
Okay.
But other than me, and that's fine, I don't count. And that was because we'd never done it before. It was very overwhelming organising it. But after that, everyone, we've got a 100% safety record.
It was the first time we did the show. It was halfway through our run in Edinburgh, where we were performing in front of 40 people every day, if we were lucky.
Sadly, we were in the Grand, so yeah. we lost a lot of money.
We had this massive show in the middle. We were doing, after every show, in front of these 40 people, we would say, in 2 weeks, we're performing in a 770-seater venue, and we'd really appreciate it if you came and watched, because we don't know how this is going to go. Luckily, it all went fine, although Max did break his ankle. And then we cancelled one show so that he could go to the hospital. On a hospital bed. It doesn't matter. Still can't do it.
I'm so sorry. We found someone
still
else.
Still can't do it.
Never
still
mind. It. Maybe season two.
And then we had to re-choreograph quite a physical show with Max wearing crutches.
Which didn't help matters. I should have been using crutches. So that's thick Scottish accents. I couldn't tell what they were telling me.
And was that you won the Edinburgh Prize, the panel awards
yes.
of the wrestling as well? Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Wow. So
that was our first year in Pleasance. That was yes, we were in the cellar doing this ridiculous multi-character show about Holmes and Watson
yes.
being old and inventing the Charleston, which is hard to do when you're wearing crutches. And then we did this wrestling show. Had a day off.
And how planned was that idea? Was that something you'd thought about doing before Edinburgh, or was it just one of those crazy Edinburgh ideas?
Well, it was definitely one of those crazy Edinburgh ideas, and it was like, it was vintage, like, we talked about it, and we were like, oh, how can it happen? And then we'd done, like, a preview in London at the Pleasance in Islington, again, in front of, like, 20 people, but yeah. the head of comedy, Ryan, happened to be there, and Ivan happened to be very, very drunk, and just was, like, loudly talking about this idea at the bar. It was one of those sort of things.
Right,
and then
right.
Ryan was like, happened to be a big wrestling fan. And I remember like, I was like sort of staggering home to my like dingy, awful flat in Bow where I was living. And Ivan was like drunk and he texted me, but I think we're going to do it. Ryan's got really excited. He's talking about the biggest space in Edinburgh. And then next day, like at my job, I was at Esquire magazine at the time. We like, because Ryan had like sort of drunkenly agreed to it, we like made this like packet, like this folder of like full color printouts and stuff. And like, I think like couriered it to his office
wow.
in the Pleasance, being like, thank you so much for agreeing to this. We've just put down the deposit on a wrestling ring. So it's all happening, which was a lie. But in order to like get him to like put in writing yeah. that it was happening. Yeah. And then we had to convince a load of comics to train to wrestle, which they didn't want to do. And they didn't either the first time. And we had to go like train them on our like lunch breaks in central London. It was all an absolute mess.
Right, right.
But after the first one, everyone, the ego of comics kind of kicked in. They're like, hold on a second. If we actually try, then, you know, then it could be fun.
Right. Brilliant. And so the double act is, I mean, the sketch shows are, I mean, it's not quite, you know, when we're building of sketches, they think of sort of student-y, did lots of unconnected, you know, capers.
We've been there.
But yours are a narrative thing. I was watching the one you're touring, I think, at the moment.
Yeah,
I keep on forgetting the name of.
Commitment. January 23rd.
It's good you know the name of it. And it's that's about your stag night and about you being in a band and sort of the nostalgia for the band you were in as a kid. But then you're playing the other parts in it as well. So it seems more about you two than maybe some of them have been, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that we've been like getting more and more into actual stuff that's happened. Although we hadn't planned to or anything, but we did this. Ivan got married last year, and I organised this super elaborate stag, and then. We ended up just talking to our friends about like the weekend that we'd had, and then basically met up back in the start of this year, and we're like, this feels a lot more interesting than the show we were like halfway through writing.
Than the rubbish high concept show that we were trying to work out.
Which was something to do with like an encyclopedia of the entire universe.
Okay.
From A to Z in what, 26 consecutive shows?
And everything in that one show would be beginning with the letter A.
Yes, okay.
So we might go back to that next year.
Yeah.
You're going to do 26 different shows.
That was the plan.
I've thought of things like doing that. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Too much.
It is too much work. Better think of one good idea. I mean, there's so much in this show and in the Stag Night, and I'm presuming it is fairly accurate to what actually happened.
Yeah.
It's all pretty true.
Yeah. So it's an incredible... I mean, A, that's what made me feel like you guys... like each other. I mean, you probably like each other. Well, I don't want to give away what happens, but it's such an elaborate sort of stunts and working out what's going to end, surprises, a really full-on
so that, yeah,
party.
The aim of the weekend was basically, Ivan was in a band when he was a teenager.
Voodoo 7-2.
Yeah, baby.
Liverpool and the Wirral's premier post-punk funk art rock outfit.
Couple of fans in tonight.
Me?
And that guy.
Yeah.
My big idea was to try and get them all back together for one more gig, which is when Ivan is truly in his heart of hearts, like, you know, that's what he really wants to do.
Yeah.
And many signs would indicate that ship has probably sailed.
You never know.
But I thought it would be fun to try and do that. So it's about, the show is about this quest, and it's the first time we've ever used, like, we've got like a projector and stuff, so we've got lots of humiliating photos of us when we were younger. And
well, that's very impressive that you've got all that stuff. Again, you're kind of thinking, well, have you got that photo of you at school assembly conducting? You've got that's all real, is it?
Yeah.
We've so massive this... spoiler.
How is it? We might have to beat that.
Okay, sorry, I didn't think that was too bad.
That's all right.
But there's lots of we could take it out. There's lots of this, these footage from the time. So were you storing this up, thinking as a kid that you were going to be?
Oh, apparently, when I was a kid, I would always like if I'd done like a picture at school or anything. And eventually my mum would be like, it's time to clear your room. What do you want to throw away? And I'd always go, no, it needs to go into storage because one day it's going to be in a museum.
I used to think that. I had everything.
Fucking little shit.
And I stand by it.
I was the same. I kept everything for the music, for the museum of me. It's going to be up Cheddar Gorge. It hasn't happened yet, but it'll be there.
Quite right.
It'll be there eventually. It's got to be. There's a picture of you going to school dressed as a candle. Am I allowed to say that?
Absolutely.
Is that for real? So there was a mufti day where anyone could go dressed in your own clothes.
Yes.
And you went dressed as a candle.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't a fancy dress day.
No, but it was crucially a day where you could dress as whatever you wanted. And maybe some kids had a little more imagination than others. And maybe most of the kids at Craneswater Junior School weren't ready for it. So maybe I moved to Wimborne Junior School, where everyone was nicer. And maybe I also learnt to assimilate a bit more into society.
By becoming a professional wrestler.
By becoming a professional wrestler and a narrative sketch comedian. Where did it all go so right?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
But so you've been working together for like 10 years or so, and yet you're still, I mean, that's what interests me as someone in a double act. And, you know, you're obviously becoming a double act with someone you're friendly with, but then you're working together all the time. A lot of double acts, they sort of work together and then don't necessarily socialise together so much because they're together all the time.
Yeah.
But it seems you guys, if you've gone to the lengths you go to in the show, that's a very sweet, almost romantic and loving and tender thing you've done for each other.
I think the times we spend so much time together, we work together, we've got like a sort of studio where we write stuff, and then like obviously if we gig, then we're together in the evening. Like, we don't really argue, but it's quite rare and nice when we get the chance to like go out and like get pissed, like, for no reason. Like, often, you know, we'll end up at a party and get and you're sort of hanging out, and then you can kind of socialize, but it is like an intense marriage like world. But I'm like fascinated by double acts and the relationship between double acts.
Me too.
Somebody once asked Max they asked both of us if we went to university looking for a double act partner, and I said, well, obviously not, and Max said yes. He actually sought me out. He's like, who's vulnerable enough for me to control? Him, yeah, there you go.
And if I was like, yep.
Yeah. I mean, what's also interesting is with a double act, it has to work in a certain way. There has to be conflict and there has to be things, you know, you have to be opposite in certain ways, which you are. There's a very clear distinction between you, and certainly in the act, I think. The sort of like slightly straighter and, you know, well-groomed... one you, and the more slovenly. I may have got it the wrong way around.
Oh, man.
Slightly sillier one.
Yeah.
That's kind of right down there. So again, you know, sometimes those tensions and those differences can be a problem.
I think the only time it was really a point of tension for me was when people in university would always say the attractive one and the other one, and that would really hurt.
I don't remember that, but...
No. For some reason, they kept telling me.
Maybe they meant you as the attractive one.
Nope.
Oh.
No, they didn't. Maybe some of them did, you know, like... I mean, I'm talking here from the point of view of... I'm the Ivan of my double X.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, you're married, so, you know, it's worked out, hasn't it?
You're doing all right.
I'll take it. I don't know. I think we try, like, I don't think we've ever had, like, a blazing row that hasn't just been about, like, a show we're trying to write or, a thing we're trying to do. And I don't know, I think it'd be a shame if things just fell apart for no, I don't know. I remember once speaking to Jennifer Saunders about, like, her, like, are you still friends with Dawn French? She said yes, and that's like the most important, like, we're friends above everything else, and we, you know, you could, if you can keep that going, then you can kind of come back and do stuff whenever you like. It'd be nice to get to that moment where you can just pick it, where you've got a body of work and you can slosh around living a fabulous life, and then whenever you want, you can just phone each other up and do a thing. And but currently we're in a financial death spiral where we're dependent on one another. So please do come to our show on January 23rd at the Cambridge Junction,
please,
because we need this.
And you're on tour with this show.
We sure are.
So I don't want. I can't give any more spoilers because you're doing this show.
No,
now.
Yeah. Come see. But it is true.
All over the UK, 17 dates. 17, too many.
Are you playing? Seems. The big question, though, are you playing Tiverton?
We are playing Tiverton, guys.
That's the big one. When you're playing Tiverton,
okay.
Let me know how many people come to see you in Tiverton.
Sure, we'll tweet you.
Are there any names in particular we should look out for?
I just want numbers. Okay. I'm interested.
The mayor was there.
Then I can make a judgment of how well you're doing on tour.
Perfect. If Tiverton is listening, please come out in force.
Oh, yeah, I've wrecked the experiment now by letting people in Tiverton know
this is
you're
it.
Coming.
We're going to get your five.
They're going to come out in force.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Lovely place. Do you think you'll ever split up and hate each other? And what reasons do you think that will be for?
Just have to read Wikipedia, I guess. Why am I looking at you like, will you split up with me? Because I'm clearly fine.
That's the dynamic, please. The doe-eyed, watery smile of Ivan, hopefully.
Will we?
I can't tell Ivan about 2021 yet, but...
No.
No, never. Okay. We're going to be performing narrative sketch comedy together ever more happily and lucratively until we die aged 100.
I hope so. Right, I'll ask you some emergency questions and then we will talk a little bit more about...
All right.
It's been a lovely day for me watching your stuff and Olga's stuff. It's a lovely job, this. Just watching comedy all day and then talking to people in it and being slightly rude to them. It's good. Or very rude to them. Who do you consider the best of Jesus' more obscure disciples?
The best of Jesus' more obscure disciples?
Oh, right.
So you can't have any of the main ones. You can't have Judas.
Right.
Peter.
Yeah. Cecil?
There is one called Cecil.
That's why he's so good.
He is good.
You've not heard of Cecil the 13th disciple? Some of the scriptures which the Council of Nicaea threw away really cite Cecil. He taught Jesus breakdancing and used to bring pies to the big meats.
I believe there's a lot of apocrypha that doesn't make it into the text.
Exactly. So. Teenage Jesus doing magic tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
And his summer hitchhiking around the Algarve with Cecil.
Good.
Pair of shaggers.
Well, look, I should
turn
ask
water
you
into condoms, am I right?
If I'm doing emergency questions, I should do this. This is a slight twist on a classic emergency question. Have you ever tried to suck each other's cocks?
Hey! I just want to take in this moment as being part of the pantheon of people
All
who can
right.
ask the cock question. We
each other's.
Each other's.
Okay.
That's a bit easier than doing your own.
I mean, to be honest, the whole double act dynamic is based on the tension that I'm always trying.
Yeah.
But
if we did
Max
that,
is never letting.
Our final show when we're 100, we're just going to be two old men.
If you want to try it now.
Gently filleting each
How
other.
How would you go about it if you had to do it simultaneously?
If you had to do it simultaneously, yeah. It would be a kind of tombstone pile driver position.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
That would work. That would work. It's the spinning part. I mean, that's got to make... I wonder if the spin as well as the fellatio will be...
I think the spin would be in there. If you could just describe that for the audio listeners.
Oh, no, I don't want to. I know. It's burned into my retinas.
Woo!
Yeah. Oh, no, you've broken the microphone. And everything.
There we go.
We're back in the room. Okay, I'll ask you this question that's come up. If you could have all your teeth replaced by psychic orbs that could tell you all future events by telepathy, but would scream at a high-pitched volume every time you opened your mouth, would you go ahead with the teeth replacement operation? I know you've probably been asked this before.
Doing press is such a drag. How do the orbs tell you things. Does
they
that...
scream them at a high-pitched volume. Oh, they all in the question.
Okay.
Sorry,
so
I thought,
you'd open your
I thought the scream was additional, just like a scream of fear or horror.
You know, when your mouth's closed, nothing. When you open them, Boris Johnson's going to destroy the planet!
Okay, and also, are the psychic screams based on questions that you have sent to the orbs? Or you're just getting a broad spread of things from the future?
I think they're just chucking stuff in there at random.
I've also got a question.
Yeah, of course.
Because I've actually still got three baby teeth.
Have
three
you?
Milk teeth.
That would be a much better question. Here. I can see them. That is weird.
Yeah, I just wasn't born with the adult teeth underneath to push them out. What? So are the orbs shaped like adult teeth? Because then
no, they're orbs.
Oh, they're orbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
if only the word orb described in some way a shape.
Very much orb. Hey, now, but now we have
orbs.
To...
Okay, fine.
Let's forget about the orbs. Let's talk about your baby teeth.
Yeah,
your tiny
sure.
baby teeth. Have
Is you it got three?
Yeah, I think like another one up here somewhere. I don't know. But these two.
I mean, they're
mainly...
so little. It's quite cute, isn't it?
I know, yeah. The dentist said.
You've never seen anything like it. And you were. Freaking should be taken out of the back and shot.
Argentinian dentists are very superstitious. It is a diablo.
Unless he's albino, in which case, it's good luck. But
you
not.
Must keep him as a pet.
What did the dentist say?
They said that it's okay, medically, but it just looks bad.
Yeah.
Which you...
And so I was fine with that.
Wow. I mean, it's right at the front as well. It's
front and centre, though. I think it kind of it's quite balanced. If it had been like if it had been like one of the canines gone, then I think you'd have had to get it sorted.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Does it ever prove a problem with chewing or anything like that? Or is it all... I mean, I suppose it's more the tearing teeth.
No, I think just one day they will fall out and then I'll just have a gap and then I really need to sort
I mean, a tiny gap, though.
That's true.
Yeah, you probably only have one tooth to replace it, right?
Yeah, I think... Yeah. Yeah, at least it's cheaper when it comes to it.
It's a non-bleak look into your future plans.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you going to have children? Because I don't think you should risk it. What if that?
No, the recessive dentist.
What if there's like more teeth the next time and other things don't change?
The trouble is you wouldn't know if anything was wrong until they got to be... How old are kids when they teeth?
Yeah.
Not even teeth. It's the second round of teeth that you're looking out for.
Yeah, the first teeth will come through fine. You're thinking it's going to be okay. The teeth are okay, and then no.
It's only when you've got no adult. We're only going to have like one third of the correct number, and it'll be.
And think of the money you missed out on like from the tooth fairy.
Yeah,
that's £2 there probably.
Or Ratoncito Perez.
Oh yes, of
which
course.
Which is where I grew up.
Is that what it's called?
Is a little mouse.
A little mouse.
Yeah, who would take your teeth?
Give you money.
Give you money.
Right.
Of course.
But that,
how does
the mouse turned your teeth, those teeth down.
Yeah.
The mouse took one look at those teeth and said, I don't want, I'm not paying for those. They're
absolute
staying in.
Tooth snob.
Yeah.
The British Tooth Fairy would have taken those teeth, mate.
Yeah, true.
That's why I voted to leave.
Amazing. Who'd have thought that?
Jan 23rd, guys.
The teeth orb question would have got that revelation. Have you done anything?
Are
you done
sure
any...
orbs aren't shaped like human teeth?
They're really not, man.
They're really... Have you ever done a show about your tiny teeth?
No.
If I had tiny teeth, that'd be all I would do.
That's an hour.
Thank God I haven't got tiny teeth because I would literally just... Every show would be tiny teeth.
Tiny teeth,
teeth more tiny teeth. Tiny teeth three. Revenge of the tiny teeth. Wow. I can't take you seriously now. Let's go back to... I think it's all right, isn't it? There's not many things, physical things you can take the piss out of anymore, but a grown man having tiny teeth.
Tiny teeth.
That's still fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be a point where someone will go, think of the tiny, who's going to look after the tiny teeth?
Community.
There's a man. You'd be on this morning saying, it's, obviously it's a struggle, the tiny teeth community. We are mocked for a long time, but there's nothing wrong with having tiny teeth.
I look forward to being their spokesperson. Yeah.
We're here today with a man from the microdental community. Ivan Gonzalez, tell us a little bit. Okay, never mind.
It's Ivan.
Okay, sure.
So, I was listening to your radio show in the car drive here, The Casebook of Max and Ivan.
Yes.
Thank you.
Joanna Lumley was in it.
What a woman.
That was pretty incredible. So how many of these have you done? Was that the Christmas special I was listening to? You've got a Christmas special coming up.
That was from our second series. We've done two short series, like four episodes each, and we did a Halloween special with Mark Heap.
Nice.
Which was wonderful. And then, we're writing a New Year's Eve special at the moment.
I like it because it's got a kind of old-fashioned feel to it in a radio show. It's like a step back into those 50s kind of comedy shows.
Like the first radio comedy I ever loved was Round the Horn, which I used to do in bed ill one day when I was a kid, and it was like blew my mind. And it's essentially a sort of tribute to that era of ridiculous caper
So it's quite different than your live shows in that sense. There's a stylistic change.
It's closer to the sort of Sherlock Holmes show we were doing back in the day. That was a very kind of silly, zany kind of knockabout screwball type thing with us sort of playing lots of different characters and going undercover and idiotic wordplay and lots of dumb gags and none of it meaning anything, but hopefully it being quite fun. Did you see that? I'm reminding myself. Did anyone see that Chris Morris thing where he talks about the purpose of comedy on Channel 4 recently? He was like, what is comedy? Is it an exotic display for the court? Which I think was meant quite derisively. And I was like, well, yeah, like, kind of. Sounds quite fun, really.
Yeah,
it's just silly jokes.
But yeah, I think he was kind of talking about satire and, you know, if satire is weak, it's kind of actually placating people as opposed to inspiring social change. But, I mean,
I'm all for being placated. Placate me on a hospital bed.
I'm so sorry. We've gone a different direction with that role.
My tiny teeth have got a lot of plaquette.
Got a lot of plaquette.
Plaquette. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Were you free associating with the word plaque?
Yeah, I was a little bit. It did not work.
You deserve a plaque.
But yeah, well, comedy. I mean, it's when people start pontificating about what comedy is and what it has to be and what it's supposed to do. It's kind of crazy because it's like saying music's meant to be one thing, or you know, it has a variety of different purposes at different times. And if it was all, I love Chris Morris, but if it was all Chris Morris wouldn't be very, you wouldn't enjoy Chris Morris anymore.
And he's a formidable genius. And his work is some of the favorite stuff I've ever seen. But yeah, our stuff was very different. And that kind of early 40s and 50s radio comedy was something I massively enjoyed. And we both really enjoyed it and wanted to.
It's really well done. And it, you know, it has that feel. It doesn't feel like you're doing that show. It just has that kind of the feel.
It's not like the year is 1953. Like it's not kind of trying to be a sort of reenactment thing. It's set in the modern day and everything. Yeah. But it's just kind of that sort of zippy style.
And you're working with my producer Ben Walker.
We were with him earlier today.
So what's the thing you're working on? This is an internet podcast.
Yes, we're making a show at the moment called...
I don't know if you've heard of podcasts.
I haven't heard of it.
You should get into
it. Not ones that aren't just people sitting down talking to each other. I don't...
We're doing a podcast with producer Ben called Max and the Man Fugitives, which is very, very, very different to Casebook. It's a sort of edgy, gritty, geopolitical comedy thriller is how it's being being sold to the
don't
world.
Don't understand what that is, but I'm happy to be involved.
What I write, Ivan sort of curls up at my feet like a cat and purrs.
Throws me bits of food every now and again.
Catch them in your tiny teeth.
Yeah.
Tiny little orbs. They're not orbs. It's called. It's a comedy. It's a thriller. An 8-episode story arc, which is really fun to write. In which two characters named Max and Ivan go on this mad chase across Europe trying to solve a ever unfurling mystery.
Good. Where can we get it?
Wherever you are listening to a podcast right now.
Yeah.
You can probably get it
in the Cambridge Corn Exchange.
Yes. We're handing out downloadable copies at the Cambridge Corn Exchange from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on March the 3rd.
It's all free. It's not one of those ones we have to go behind a paywall, or is it?
Nah, mate.
No.
Egalitarian scripted podcast.
We don't have to sign
up
to someone and then they say you can have it for free.
I don't think you even need to do that.
As far as I understand, it'll be...
It's going to be on all platforms.
Out in the world.
End of
November.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
First three episodes are coming out at the end of November and then weekly until sort of Christmas time. And it's got a really, really brilliant cast, all of whom producer Ben nervily twitched at us that we weren't allowed to talk about.
Fuck him, tell us.
Well...
He's not like he can edit it out later. Is Prince Andrew in it? Because he hates me mentioning him.
Andy became a lot more available recently.
He did.
Although, the part that we wrote for him, Sinister Royal.
No, Ben was going, you're not allowed to... He was like, talk about the podcast, but don't mention anything about the podcast. But we're allowed... There's someone from Game of Thrones in it.
Okay.
There you go, yeah. Ben. And someone who will be in Killing Eve, the next series.
Oh. That could be anyone. Not interested.
And lots of...
Someone from the Adam Buxton podcast.
Yeah.
It's Adam Buxton.
Yeah. Hold on, how come Adam Buxton's in it? What? He's the same as me. Why is he in it? Producer Ben doing. Why haven't I got a job in it?
You've got to take that out with Ben, I'm afraid. He was deeply involved in the casting.
Oh, Adam actually talked about being
he's
told.
He's got
about
a bone to pick with you.
About the top trumps.
Oh yes.
There's beef.
He said that he got contacted about it, and he said that the person designing them had nothing to do with the scores, as though it sounded like he had some quite low scores.
he got contacted apologetically, basically, about whatever his scores are on the top trumps. Right. So he says, if you've screwed him on the top trumps, then fuck you.
That's a message from Adam.
I set the scores.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Though a couple of them, they got fucked up, so it might be that. So a couple of them, they're mainly okay, except London Hughes comes out as 64 years of age, which I don't think she should be pleased. Maybe it means she's a better card than she would be if it was
she's
a correct
super,
age.
She's supercharged.
And Bob Mortimer is 44, according to the card, which is also... But that's quite flattering, so I think he'll be happy with that. Not my fault. I did it right. Cool. And let me just check that there wasn't anything important I was going to say to you. No, fuck it. Let's go home. There's loads more I want to talk to you about. I'm going to ask you another emergency question. Because the teeth were good. Imagine if we get the teeth again. What if you could have... Like, I'll ask you my one about museums and art galleries. If you could take one painting or artifact from any museum or art gallery in the world and keep it, what would you have?
Ooh. Now, would I want this? I think I kind of would. I mean, so, we went to the Museum of Old and New Art, MONA, in Tasmania.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Super cool.
What a shit name for a museum of old... It's just the Museum of Art, really. Old and new.
MONA's cool, though.
MONA is cool.
And also, it's owned by, like, a mad professional gambler who's been banned from every casino in the world, so does what he wants. It's on his own private island house.
It had a... This is not what I want, but it kind of helps to explain it. It had a robot which made...
Shit.
Human shit. Well, it made a robot shit. It, like, processed food and then turned it into a shit.
I can only take your first answer, I'm afraid. What? And that is, that's what you...
Wait!
He's showing his working, Richard. He's showing his working.
Wait!
You don't know where this could go.
It was broken on the day that we went.
Oh, so you weren't working.
I was really disappointed. Okay. And then one of the ushers said, right, okay... Go to the toilet.
Go to the toilets
upstairs.
And do a shit.
wait.
And that's what it is.
So go to the third cubicle and sit down. And I said, okay, fine. So I went to that cubicle and I sat down. And then, lo and behold, in front of me was this little viewing hole. And I looked in and there were a series of mirrors which went directly up towards my anus, and then I could see myself having a shit.
Michelangelo's David. Thank you so much.
You'd have the shitting mirrors as well. Through that, I could see myself shitting, and then through a normal mirror, I could just see my little teeth.
What a day. What a time to be alive.
If the shitting robot worked, would you have taken that?
Well, I don't know. Probably not. I've got a cat, and that's basically doing that every day. All it is doing is sleeping and then shitting, and I have to clean it up.
Having seen it once, though, I mean, your own...
But it's a conversation starter.
The novelty might wear off.
Was it being broadcast on the internet at the same time?
I hope not.
Probably have a little sideline though. Set up a webcam there as well.
It'd be anonymous though, wouldn't it?
Just think the person at the museum saying, "Yeah, go to the third one along." I won't be watching you. I haven't got a live feed of it.
Have a good
playing into the rest of the museum. What if you'd walked out and everyone just been,
"Good God." It's the peanut butter guy, is it? I see.
Good.
I think that was a good answer.
Everything could have anything in the world. You could have made one of those yourself. It's just a mirror. Mirror.
Is it even
just shit on a mirror and look at the mirror.
Is it even an art installation? Wasn't that not just a public convenience? Like, did you even pick something that was listed as an artwork within the thing? Because Mona had a mad iPad where you could go and like learn about all of the bits of art. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't on it.
That was just a toilet. It was just a broken toilet.
A toilet with some reflective surfaces and the ability to gaze into your own anus.
Okay, I will change it to the neo-dadaist Robert Rauschenberg. Fine, okay. There you go.
Okay. Someone did an art.
No, I didn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
Stick to your guns, man.
Well, I'll ask you this. Who's the most famous, surprising person you've ever been in a lift with? And which I mean, you kind of got into the lift with them. They just happened to be in the lift you were in.
Oh.
If any. Or, you know, other situation.
This is vaguely related. But when I was young, when I was a kid, I had a genuine, like, phobia, like, panic attack-inducing phobia of walking into a lift and Uma Thurman would be there. And this is entirely true, and she would be wearing a sort of like Burberry style trench coat, and then she would stab me in the back with a machete. Wow. And I would die, and that was one of my main worries about the way I would die for some years.
Now you've said it in a podcast, I think that could happen.
Oh no.
I think she listens to this.
I choose the orb teeth just so I know. Please.
Yeah. Would you quite like it if that happened? I mean, it's like me having... I dreamt that I was eating lettuce with Blur last night.
I mean, that doesn't involve you being stabbed to death, right?
No, but, you know, it's interesting, though, isn't it? I wanted to find out if it's, you know, how the dream went. It'd be interesting to meet up with Alex James, see if he... What's that kind of lettuce called where it's like...
Romaine?
Oh.
No? What is it? Oh, it is romaine.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's... leave or remain.
Yeah.
Lovely bit of topical.
Thank you. I didn't script it. Haven't been trying to get that joke in. Just made that up. Remain. Have you ever been in a lift with a famous person?
Max, does that count?
No.
No.
On an escalator? Travelator? In a gym?
I don't know if I've ever been on a travel... Oh, no, I guess in an airport.
Yeah.
Who was it that we were in? It was one of those buses that takes you from one terminal to another. And you really wanted me to take a picture of someone famous.
I don't know.
Oh, this is not a good anecdote.
What did we say before we went on stage, Yvonne?
Keep my mouth shut.
I once shared a lift with, he's famous in a certain group of people, Bruce Buffer, the golden-voiced ring announcer of UFC and the brother of Michael Buffer, who invented the Let's Get Ready to Rumble catchphrase copyrighted it for billions of dollars at this point. I shared a lift to a Skyloft in Las Vegas with him, and he was with two women who were not, I suspect, his daughters.
Good, we've got some gossip about someone I don't care about. Oh, no. Right, I'll go. Oh, my goodness, the time has flown by. Just check there wasn't anything important I had to actually ask you. I think we covered most of it. Well, I was interested in the school reunion show was an interesting idea, and I've seen little clips of that. So that was a good way of getting lots of different characters in. Was that based on going to your own school reunions? Because I went to a school reunion when I was about 26, and you feel like, oh, we've been away from school for so long. And now I kind of think it would be my parents kind of go to school reunions and they're 83.
Yeah.
I think there's a big period in the middle where it doesn't. It would be fucking awful to go and see a load of 52-year-olds.
Absolutely. Well, Max got invited to his 10-year school reunion, and instead of going, we wrote a show about it.
Yeah. We got a really vivid, like, there was a really vivid Facebook chat at the time, and people were kind of adding their mates into it, so you could kind of see the social groupings sort of reforming, and some people were unrecognizable in their profile pics, and some people had changed their surnames, and some people had changed their hairstyle. But then, also, by the end, I was like, I can't go. This will be appalling.
Yeah.
But we liked the idea of it, and then we were going to make it into a short film initially, and then we made it into an Edinburgh show instead.
And we used all of our former classmates' names,
real names. Yes, yes, indeed.
Do these? Because I noticed that in the more recent show as well, that there's lots of names of people and presumably real people.
Yeah, all real.
Is there any fallout from that?
No, but we once tried to use the real name of Ivan's PE teacher in a Radio 4 casebook episode.
Rick Lytolis.
Which producer Ben was making. And he's a very conscientious man, is young Ben, overly, if anything.
Yeah.
And just beforehand, he was like, I don't know if we can actually use Mr. Lytolis's real surname. Could we just contact him? And Ivan ended up phoning up his old PE teacher, who he hadn't spoken to for years, and going, bit odd, but we've written a radio show and there's a character of PE teacher, could we use you? And his answer was something along the lines of, I think I'd really need to...
Read the script
and see if it was any good, because I wouldn't want to embarrass both of us, I think was his...
Wow.
Yeah.
I use the name of someone who bullied me at college when I was a grown child as the name of something in Fist of Fun, and then he got angry and rang the BBC.
Really?
and said we'd used his mannerisms, which we hadn't. I just used his name, but I was in the background of the phone call. They used to, whenever I walked into the bar, there's a group of lads who go, "Bah!" I don't know why. So I started going bah to them every time I saw them, because I thought they were just big sheep by doing what they were doing. And so I was in the background of his call when he was complaining. I was going bah.
Who was
and the producer going, "No, I think it's just a coincidence that you're."
And what was this prick's full name?
let's leave it up. It was Prince Andrew. Well, I don't know about producer, but why is he trying to protect Prince Andrew all the time?
Producer Ben?
Yeah, it's like he likes what Prince Andrew's doing, and the things Prince Andrew are doing.
If you've read Jeffrey Epstein's unredacted black book, Ben Walker's name appears all over that.
Is that it? Yeah.
This goes all the way to the top of the podcasting industry, I'm afraid.
And the terrible things, it's awful to try and... What he's doing is awful. Don't think he's actually in charge of editing this one, so this will go all the way in. That's fine. Right, we'll do one more question. And then we're going to call it a day. It's been nice, hasn't it? It's been a nice day. It's a shame to end it. That's a question for dating. I don't want to ask you that. It would be inappropriate. we've sort of covered that. Would you rather have no ears or no dignity?
I mean, I've already got no dignity. <That is. laughs>
So you go with ears. No what?
No, you go for no. You're going to stick with no dignity.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll have no... No either.
Complete the set. You'd have a lovely smooth... I'd be happy with no ears. How good are ears?
I mean, you do wear glasses.
I'm wearing contacts now and I'm having a great time. You know?
I mean, you're just imagining the pinner is going to be taken off. Is that where you're taking it? Your ear is how you hear things.
Oh, I see. Yeah. This is how you get people, Richard. Yeah. I see. So this is plunged into a soundless world is the...
Possibly. I'm not... I don't make the rules of these questions.
And is the lack of dignity related to simply how people perceive you, despite your inherent personality traits being as they are currently? Or do you just walk around with your dick out, spraying shit all over the place and falling over?
It's mainly just watching yourself shitting in a mirror, I think, is probably the... Whilst trying and failing to chew things properly like an adult.
We know where I stand, or indeed, squat.
Well, look, it's been terrific to meet you.
Oh, yeah,
both.
We'll finish on that note, shall we?
really loved your stuff.
Oh dear.
You got a tour, Tiverton coming up.
Yeah, we sure
mainly
do.
Tiverton. Why don't we just get everyone to come to Tiverton?
Everyone come to Tiverton.
And not go to any of the others.
We'll
organise a coach trip. Everyone will come to Tiverton.
Absolutely.
Ignore the Cambridge Junction on January the 23rd.
Get yourselves over to Tiverton, guys.
You've got to, if he ever gets married, which is unlikely, because he's good looking enough to just keep sleeping around with different
really
people.
Really is,
right?
Isn't he?
Are you going to be able to top his
well,
stagmite
I'm
for you?
I'm very nervous, to be honest, and I hope that he chooses someone else to be the best. Are you supposed to choose a different person as your best man?
Oh, I'm 100% choosing you.
No.
Even if our friendship just ossifies and we go our separate ways, as and when I get married, I'm phoning up and calling in this favour and going, remember the stag weekend that was yours? I need something.
I think it's kind of a dick move not to choose the person who chose you. And I suppose the problem is if someone's been chosen as best man multiple times.
My brother chose me, and I didn't choose my brother.
Well, that's true.
But in fairness, he would have done quite a shit stag too. And we managed to make a whole show. I mean, we would have made a show out of my brother's stag do, but it would have been a different show.
It would
show.
Have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, give a massive applause, Max and Ivan! Thank you very much for coming. You've been awesome. See you at the back if you want. Give some money to Scope, please, if you want. Thank you very much. Cheers, guys. You have been listening to Rahala's The Pub with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Max and Ivan. Thank you to Pest for playing this music. Thanks to everyone at the Cambridge Corn Exchange, everyone at Go Faster Strike. You guys are ace. Especially Chris Evans, not that one. Thanks to everyone at Acast. Thanks to George the Incompetent Sandman, who was essentially the producer of this podcast. I'd like to thank my executive producer for this show, who is Ian Logdog. I'm sure that is his real name. I'm indebted to my serious producer, Ben Walker. This is a Fuzz Go Faster Strike and Sky Potato production. Yes, it is. Go to rahalastava.co.uk to find out more about this wonderful show. Bye, see you around. Oh yeah, nice to see you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.